भासम सुंदर राधे। जय कृष्ण बलराम कृष्ण बलराम कृष्ण बलराम जय कृष्ण बलराम। जय गौरनिताय 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 जय गौरनिताय। जय प्रभुपदा 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 श्री
His Divine Grace of High Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada ki Jai Om Vishnu Pada Paramahamsa Paribrajaka Acharya Astotar Satasi Siman His Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Srila Prabhupada ki Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki Nama Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki Prem Shikaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shadwaita Gadadhar Shri Rasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrindaki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gogobina Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govidana Ki Shri Vrindavan Dhamma Ki Shri Navadup Dhammaya Purdham Ki Shri Gangamai Jamunamai Ki Shri Mati Tulsi Maharani Ki Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to you, Srila Prabhupada. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Sarasvati. Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauri Vichayami Nivishesasa Nivishacharya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading today from the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 15th chapter. We're reading three texts, 39, 40, and 41, I believe. The title of the chapter is The Killing of Dhenuka, the Ass Demon. And I'll do it the way it was done yesterday. I'll read the first two verses myself and the purports, and then when we get to the last one, 41, we'll do it responsively. Tayo tat su mahat karma nishamya vibhudhadhaya Mumuchu pushpavarshani chakrurvadyani tushtubu. Hearing of this magnificent feat of the two brothers, the demigods and the other elevated living beings rained down flowers and offered music and prayers in glorification. Purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Siddhartha Goswami comments that the demigods, great sages, and other exalted beings were all astonished and ecstatic upon seeing the unusually swift and nonchalant way in which Krishna and Balaram killed the very powerful ass demons in the Tala forest. Text 40. Atatala palanyadan manusha gata sadvasa Trinam cha pashavash chayror hata denuka kanane. People now felt free to return to the forest where Dhenuka had been killed, and without fear they ate the fruits of the palm trees. Also, the cows could now graze freely upon the grass there. Purport. According to the Acharyas, low-class people, such as the Pulindas, ate the fruits of the palm trees, but Krishna's cowherd boyfriends considered them undesirable since they had been tainted with the blood of the asses. And text 41 together. Krishna Kamala Pratraksha. Punya Shravana Kirtana. Suyamano Nagaya Gopai. Sagra Jo Vrajam Avrajat. Krishna Kamala Pratyaksha. Punya Shravana Kirtana. Suyamano Nagaya Gopai. Sagra Jo Vrajam Arajat. Krishna Kamala Pratyaksha. Sunya Shravana Kirtana. Stuyamano Nagaya Gopai. Sarajo Vrajam Arajat. Vaishnavas? Krishna Kamala Pratraksha. Punya Shravana Kirtana. Suyamano Nagai Gopai. Sagra Jova Jamaraja. Krishna Kamala Pratraksha. Punya Shravana Kirtana. Suyamano Nagai Gopai. Krishna Kamala Pratraksha. Punya Shravana Kirtana. Stuyamano Nagaya Gopai. Sagra Jo Vrajama Vrajat. Vaishnavis? Krishna Kamala Pratraksha. Punya Shravana Kirtana. Suyamano Nagaya Gopai. Sagra Jo Vrajam Avrajat. Somebody else? Krishna.
Krishna.
Lord Shri Krishna. Kamala Patra Aksha, whose eyes are like lotus petals. Punya Shravana Kirtana, hearing and chanting about whom is the most pious activity. Stuyamana, being glorified. Anugai, by his followers, Gopai, the cowherd boys, Sagraja, together with his elder brother, Balaram, Vrajam, to Vraja, Avrajat, he returned. Translation. Then lotus-eyed Lord Sri Krishna, whose glories are most pious to hear and chant, returned home to Vraja with his elder brother Balaram. Along the way, the cowherd boys, his faithful followers, chanted his glories. Purport. When the glories of Sri Krishna are vibrated, both the speakers and the hearers are purified and become pious. Om Meghanath Mirandasya Ganangananath Vakaya Chakshur Unnatam Jena Tasmaya Shri Vrubhena Maha Mukham Karati Vachalam Pangam Langa Tegnam Yat Kripa Atvam Maham Dande Shri Guru Vintanana. Hare Krishna. So Krishna works in interesting ways. Just recently I was in Mayapur, Shridham Mayapur, and I was participating in several different gatherings of exalted Vaishnavas. So one of them was called the SGGS, which means the Sangha of Sannyasis, Gurus, and GBCs. And very many wonderful, wonderful devotees came, and we were talking a lot about unity and diversity and cooperation. These things were kind of on my mind. So I'm a member of a committee called the Team Building Committee, of the strategic planning team of the GBC. And our service is to help the GBC become a team, work together despite whatever providence may throw at them, and come together to push on Srila Prabhupada's movement. So these discussions about succession and about the goals of our ISKCON movement, of Prabhupada in regards to ISKCON, were very much buzzing around and were very prominent in my consciousness the whole time, or at least for the last 2 or 3 weeks of my stay in Mayapur. So we were at a team building meeting, and the members of my team, some very, very wonderful devotees, we were discussing different things, and Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj, he said, you know, a perfect example of team building is the story of Dhenakasura. And I thought, right, okay, what does that have to do with anything? So he sent me a excerpt from the Garga Samhita, which is a little addition to the information that we have here on the killing of Dhenakasura. And I thought I'd share that with you. And it's interesting that, you know, he sent this to me when I didn't even know I was giving class, and I didn't even know I was talking on Dhenakasura. So the what goes around, you know, Krishna arranges, it's all divinely ordained. So here it is from the Garga Samhita. According to Garga Samhita, Dhenakasura was having a midday nap when Krishna and Balaram and all the cowherd boys came into the forest. Dhenakasura attacked Balaram and hit him with his rear legs. Then Balaram threw him 8 miles. This hurt his head badly, and he fell unconscious. But then he got up again and attacked the cowherd boys in a terrible four-horned form. Sridham hit him with a stick. Subal punched him. Stoka Krishna whipped him with a rope. Arjuna and Angsu threw him. Vishala and Rishaba kicked him. Tejasvi tried to strangle him. Devaprastha slapped him. And Varutapa hit him with a ball. Teamwork. How do you roll? Then Krishna threw him into Govardhan Hill, and he was unconscious for 1 hour. And then the demon assumed his normal form and grabbed Krishna with his horns and flew into the sky 800,000 miles. But Krishna threw him to the ground and knocked him unconscious, but then he got up again. Then Dhenakasura uprooted Govardhan Hill and threw it at Krishna. Krishna caught it and threw it back. Dhenaka caught it and threw it back again, and so did Krishna. And then he attacked Balaram again, and then Lord Balaram killed him. Lord Balaram caught him by the front hooves and, whirling with one hand, threw him into the top of one of the tall trees, and then there was a domino effect. One caused the other to fall. And then there's a nice conclusion, which is also from the Garga Samhita. Leaving his body, Dhenuka manifested a splendid and handsome dark form, wearing yellow garments and decorated with a forest flower garland. Then a chariot filled with 100,000 of the Lord's associates, decorated with 1,000 flags, rumbling with 1,000 wheels, pulled by 10,000 horses, glorious with 100,000 chamaras, yellow, studded with many jewels, 8 miles long, beautiful, traveling as fast as the mind and decorated with many bells and tinkling ornaments, suddenly appeared. Then the demon, we could put that in quotes maybe, circumambulated Krishna and Balaram, and then filling the directions with light, he ascended the chariot and went to Goloka. Pretty amazing, huh? So, teamwork. We have that wonderful description. Sridham hit him with a stick, Subal punched him, Stoka Krishna whipped him with a rope, Arjuna and Angsu threw him, Vishala and Rishabha kicked him, Tejasvi tried to strangle him, Devaprastha slapped him, and Viratapa hit him with a ball. So all the boys, and actually if in Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's Tika on this particular Leela, there's a discussion between the cowherd boys and Balaram. And the cowherd boys are telling Balaram, you know, there's these tall fruits, we want to go there, can't you smell them from here? And Balaram said, well, you guys are all stronger than me. You know, I've seen you messing around. You're pretty strong. Why are you asking me to go? Why don't you go yourself? But they wanted Balaram to show his prowess, and they wanted to participate, and obviously they helped him in whatever way they could. We saw in the Govardhan Leela also, when Krishna was lifting Govardhan Hill, all the different boys and some of the even the older Gopa men, they were trying also to hold with their stick and their finger and their hand and trying to give Krishna support, trying to help him. Then Krishna let go of the hill for a second and they realized that it wasn't anything they could do. They were going to get crushed. It was Krishna holding up everything. So this mood of cooperation, everybody contributing for the ultimate success, is the mood of bhakti. And actually, ultimately, bhakti is cooperation with Krishna. That's what bhakti is. We have voluntary cooperation, which is bhakti, and we have forced cooperation, which is karma. When we cooperate with Krishna and we don't want to cooperate, but Maya has us in a hammer lock and we're forced to cooperate with Krishna's plan, that's called the law of karma. That's karma. But when bhakti is voluntary, when cooperation is voluntary, when we're doing what we're doing, whatever it is, for serving Krishna's mission, for serving the mission of the devotees, for helping to carry out the utmost desire of Krishna and his devotees, then that's bhakti. So this idea of cooperation is very prevalent in our devotional literature. It's very prevalent in our training as devotees of Krishna. It's very prevalent in Srila Prabhupada's instructions, but it's not very prevalent in our society, the society that we, not necessarily the ISKCON society, although it definitely comes and goes, but in the society we live in, cooperation has is conspicuous sometimes by its absence. And so we find instead what we call untranscendental competition, where people are trying to assert themselves as being the best and the greatest and making themselves foremost and putting their name on the marquee and making sure their cause is the cause that everybody is in favor of. And whoever doesn't agree is a fool, is an idiot. And we see very often people think that they can't have peace until their enemies rest in peace, isn't it? So everybody is trying to defeat. And this is the mentality that's described in the Bhagavad Gita in the 16th chapter, Divine and Demoniac Nature, that the demoniac person is thinking, I will kill my enemy. He is my enemy, I'll kill him. And I have another enemy, I'll kill him too. Ultimately, I'll win because I'll eliminate everybody who doesn't agree with me. But the unfortunate reality is that no one agrees with everybody, except if one is in bhakti yoga. And then one agrees with Krishna and his pure devotee. And so we have many, many wonderful examples of different devotees who sacrificed their ability to do a sacrifice sometimes. Prithu Maharaj, he gave up his 100th at Ashwamedha sacrifice and he let Indra win. Okay, you win. because he was asked by this the devotees, by Lord Brahma, to please let it go. It's not that important. And Prithu saw that cooperation was more important than winning, more important than getting the extra point. So he sacrificed that. And he let Indra win, even though Indra was technically wrong. Indra had misbehaved. He had acted in a very irreligious way. And pretending to be a sannyasi, so many different changes of dress, trying to manipulate his victory. But Prithu didn't retaliate. Instead, he cooperated. And so Prithu is glorified, and Indra is not glorified, right? Indra isn't glorified. No one's thinking, oh, Indra was so great because he won 1,000 horse sacrifices. That's not very important to us. But on the other hand, Prithu Maharaj is glorified because he cooperated and he gave up his endeavor to do this 100 sacrifices. Vidura is another person who I personally get a lot of spiritual strength from looking at the life of Mahatma Vidura. Because very often we think that things are going wrong and things are too difficult and somehow we have to, you know, champion our cause and fight to the death. And in many ways, it's an indication of lack of faith in Krishna's ability to manage things. Because Krishna's got the whole world in his hands. He's able to control everything. And he is controlling everything. He's organizing everything for our ultimate welfare. And Vidura knew that. He knew that despite the fact that in the immediate issue, it looked like the wrong side was winning. Huh? He kept trying to give Dhritarashtra good advice, but Dhritarashtra didn't hear again and again. And despite the fact that he wasn't doing the right thing, despite the fact that Duryodhana was given his independence to do so many abominable things, still it looked like Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana were winning. They were getting all the power, all the strength, all the wealth. And on the other hand, the Pandavas were exiled. They had nothing. Everything was taken away from them. They were humiliated in public. Their wife was publicly defamed. But Vidura, how he acted in that circumstance is very exemplary. Because he didn't work to take anyone down. He just tried to give it good advice. He prevented the death of the Pandavas and their mother in a very secretive way. He didn't go tell it on the mountain. He just worked from behind the scenes, did what he could do, and understood that Krishna would take care of it. And he just had to be an instrument, a cooperative instrument in Krishna's plan. Even Arjuna and Bhishma, who were the most passionate in some ways about Duryodhana's horrible activities, were asked by Yudhisthira to go and save Duryodhana. Duryodhana got himself in some trouble in the forest. He tried to make the Pandavas feel bad, more bad than they already felt about being in exile. And he set up this very elaborate party in the forest right next to the ashram where the Pandavas were staying. And in that party, they were enjoying and having a lot of fun, but they also caused some village dwellers a little bit of difficulty, and so they came to take Duryodhana's life. And because he was intoxicated and they weren't prepared, Duryodhana was actually very much in danger. And when Yudhisthira heard, he sent Bhima and Arjuna to save his life. So you can imagine, here are these two brothers who had basically no other desire than to retaliate for all the wrongs that Duryodhana had done to them over the years. Now they were being asked by their brother, their older brother, to go and save this guy. And they did it. They did it because it was their consciousness, their fixed service to cooperate. To cooperate with their family, to cooperate with their brother, to cooperate with the ultimate goals of righteousness and seeing that Krishna's will be done. They also cooperated with the mother when she said, share it with your brothers. They didn't say, well, Ma, you don't understand. They just surrendered, and they shared Draupadi amongst them. And so all these examples of cooperation show us that by cooperating, Krishna becomes pleased. And when Krishna becomes pleased and the devotees become pleased, then all the smaller things that seem to us at a moment to be very important automatically become taken care of just the way they're supposed to be taken care of. Ultimately, in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna, he comes to the point where he says to Krishna, Karishye vachanam tava, whatever you say, I'll do it. I had my interest at the beginning. I thought this was a better way to go. I discussed with you for 18 chapters what was right and what was wrong. But now I'm convinced that whatever you want to do, that's the best thing. So I should just cooperate with you. So whatever you say, I'll do it. So here we have, in this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, we have our captain, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, the founder acharya of our movement. These words, founder acharya, which Srila Prabhupada used, were discussed at length in Sridhar Mayapur. What they mean, what that means, founder acharya. How Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur put that terminology into the lexicon of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, and how ultimately Srila Prabhupada used that title when he founded the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So founder acharya, what does it mean? It means that Srila Prabhupada, well, if you look at the history, Srila Prabhupada tried very hard to get cooperation for preaching in the West because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told him to preach in the West. He gave him that instruction twice, once when he first met him, and once almost came posthumous after he passed away. So Srila Prabhupada had that instruction, go preach in the West. And so he took it very seriously. Having looked at the purport, especially inspired by the purport to 241 of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Vyavyasikatnika Budhir, Akeha Kuru Nandana, where Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur put the idea forward that for the devotee, this means to follow the order of your spiritual master, to take that with one pointed determination and carry it through to completion, no matter what sacrifices you have to make of your personal comfort, of your personal desire, whatever you have in your mind that doesn't serve this order of your spiritual master, put it away. Get it away. Get it out of your list of things to do. And just follow the order of the spiritual master. And by doing that, Krishna will be pleased and everything will come out auspicious. Srila Prabhupada read that and he became determined, more determined than ever, to carry out this order of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So he came to America. And when he came to America, he wrote many, many letters. I read many of them to his godbrothers and to various political figures, to government officials, to the president of India, to prime minister, whatever, to many, many people asking for help. Help in many ways. He wanted deities. He wanted kartals. He wanted mridangas. He wanted money. He wanted the ability to transfer money. He wanted permission. He wanted manpower, assistance. So many things he begged for help, but he didn't get any help. For whatever reason, he didn't get any help. So he decided to, and actually at one time he said, if I don't get help, then I'll just go back. I'll just go back. And at one point he also said that, I'll work for you. He wrote one of his godbrothers, I'll work for you. You start the mot here in New York City, and I don't need any kind of title. I don't need any kind of position. I'll just work for you. I'll be your servant. But it didn't happen. And so ultimately, Srila Prabhupada started the International Society for Krishna Consciousness in a desire to please, to carry out the order of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And therefore, he became the founder acharya of ISKCON. And in so doing, he set the standard. He set the standard for our behavior. He set the standard for what he wanted us to do. He set the standard for us to take the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and bring it forward across the globe. That was Prabhupada's desire, because he knew that was the desire of his Guru Maharaj, and also the desire of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, of his Guru Maharaj, and also of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is our mission now. We have this responsibility to, as Prabhupada took the mission of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur on his head, we now have that responsibility to cooperate together in order to carry that mission forward into the future. And, you know, as I was meditating on this for weeks before I came here, and now was preparing for this class, and then I, you know, sort of Vijaya Prabhu left us, and also today is the disappearance day of Tamal Krishna Goswami. And so thinking about all these great devotees, and so many of them are coming more and more. While I was in Mayapur, there was a disappearance day of Gaur Govinda Maharaj. There was a disappearance day of other great devotees celebrated. And, you know, we're dropping like flies. Sorry to say. But the realization came that in 30 years, there won't be any disciples of Srila Prabhupada on this planet. Very unlikely. Unless we live like Jagannath Das Babaji to 144, then there might be a few of us. But I can't say. Maybe it'll happen. I hope it isn't me, though. but at least in the foreseeable future now, we can ascertain that living relics of Srila Prabhupada's shishya will not be here. Srila Prabhupada's disciples. And so then it becomes the responsibility of what we lovingly call the second generation of devotees, which becomes the third and the fourth and the fifth and the eighth and the 20th generation of devotees, to make sure that Srila Prabhupada's mission is carried on and handed down in a way that is not changed, not broken, not messed around with, not altered. And at the same time, while we're trying not to change it and not to alter it and not to deviate it from Prabhupada's original intention, at the same time, we have to keep up with time, place, and circumstance. It's quite a mission. It's quite a juggling act. So as we embark on that, we have no recourse but to pray to Krishna, to Sri Krishna, to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and to Srila Prabhupada himself, to get guidance and direction so that we can do it. Because Prabhupada, if you study, as you study Srila Prabhupada's books, you see that Prabhupada very much depended on the mercy of his spiritual master. He gave credit for everything he did to his spiritual master. He never took credit for himself. He always passed it up, the disciplic succession. And because he was so connected with Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, because he never felt alone, because he was always guided and inspired by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he moved forward with conviction and with strength. And he was able to do unimaginable things. He was able to do unimaginable things at an unimaginable age. I can't even think about it, the idea of coming to a foreign country at, you know, 65 years old with no money and starting the Hare Krishna movement with a ragtag army of misfits. But Prabhupada did it. And so I wanted to read something to you, a few things to you. These are excerpts from Srila Prabhupada's letters, mostly. And befittingly, the first one is to Tamal Krishna Goswami. He says, "So I thank you very much, all of you, for appreciating my humble service, which I am trying to render as a matter of duty ordered by my Guru Maharaj. I request all my disciples to work cooperatively, and I'm sure our mission will advance without any doubt." This is another one. "You write to describe me as a loving servant of the Lord. If you believe me so, then kindly help me in my service. That will help both of us. I want your cooperation fully. Lord Chaitanya, although Krishna himself appealed to his friends and helpers to help him in his mission, and what to speak of me, I'm just an ordinary human being, so I need your help. Now we are growing, and if we work cooperatively, our strength will also grow, and then the mission will not be checked in its progress. Please always keep the association of your good God brothers and sisters and work very cooperatively with them for pushing on this movement. If you are always engaged seriously in Krishna's service, Krishna will give you all opportunity for advancing in Krishna consciousness or blissful spiritual life. Study our literatures carefully and try to understand the philosophy nicely. And if you have any questions, you can ask them of your elder devotees who know the science. I thank you very much for installing Radha Giridhari. From my childhood, I was very much fond of Radha and Krishna. And now my good disciples are helping me to open so many Radha Krishna temples all over the world. It gives me so much pleasure. Now introduce Rathyatra. That was my childhood activity. I want to see my disciples all over the world introduce these two items, opening Radha Krishna temples and Rathyatra festivals. Do this under the protection of Guru and Gauranga. Please do everything cooperatively, for then you will be happy, your countrymen will be happy, and all living entities will be happy. If one waters the root, then all the branches, twigs, and leaves will automatically be nourished. That is the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. We have got so much vital spiritual knowledge to distribute to the public, and they are in desperate need of it. The whole world is going to hell, and everyone is suffering. In light of this, how can we argue amongst one another and neglect our responsibility for reclaiming these fallen souls, for going back home, back to Godhead? So I just wanted to take a moment to recall Siddhavijaya a little bit, because he very much exemplified this attitude of cooperation and this love for spreading Krishna consciousness everywhere. And actually, as Narataka said, he went, you know, on Harinam every day, 30 years in Miami. Many times we got to go with him. We took our students. We went for big festivals in Coconut Grove. He was famous in Coconut Grove. He was so famous in Coconut Grove that he could take a Harinam party of 30 people into a store, right, in one door and out the other, and the whole party would go through the store, and they would love it. Everybody would be chanting with their arms in the air and offering different things to offer, cookies or whatever they sold in the store. And they would welcome him, and they would ask, where is he? And he would come again and again with his Sankirtan parties. Even when he was beginning to become ill, still he would go regularly on Sankirtan, even if just for an hour. And every morning he would be at the morning program, even if he was the only one at the morning program, with the exception of the pujari who was doing arti. And he would play his kartals, and he would sing all the prayers, and he would sing the Tulsi Puja, and he would and he would scramble to try and find someone to do what he couldn't do while he was singing, because he was pretty much, in some cases, a one-man stand there for many, many years. And it's interesting to me, again, I say that Krishna acts in divinely humorous ways, that Narataka mentioned that he joined as a result of the preaching of Vishnujan Maharaj, but he always reminded me of Vishnujan. The way he chanted, even his bodily features, he always reminded me of Vishnujan Maharaj. And Vishnujan Maharaj was very close to Tamal Krishna Goswami, so it all comes around to a big circle, because yesterday he left in the afternoon, and today is the disappearance day of Srila Tamal Krishna Goswami. So we should take this mission of Srila Prabhupada very seriously, and the need to cooperate together, whatever we do. Prabhupada used to talk about the sign in the railway station, keep the wheels rolling. And that he would comment that the ticket collector, the engine man, the sweeper, everybody would work together, and it would all happen. So, you know, this discussion of Varnashram, Daivi Varnashram, really Daivi Varnashram is just a society where people are cooperating to serve God. And as Vaishnavas, everyone just takes their position, no attachment to being the top man on the totem pole, no attachment to being the biggest or the best or the richest or the most famous, but rather just taking up position, whatever the position is, and finding a way to make your offering to Krishna, because that's bhakti. finding a way to cooperate with Krishna and the devotees to make your offering to Krishna, to help Krishna's mission, to help Lord Chaitanya's mission, to help Srila Prabhupada's mission be successful. So I'll stop there, and if there's any questions, I'll try to answer. Yes, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. There you go.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Is it on? Okay, thank you. So, Srila Prabhupada had this ingenious strategy, many ingenious strategies, and one of them was to make the Krishna dolls. I don't know that he made the Krishna doll.
The dioramas, you mean? I don't know, but I know he said that he wanted Gornatai deities made so that in every home there would be Gornatai dolls.
Okay.
How they were made or whether he organizes the making. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Prabhupada had so many, it's interesting, when I was in Mayapur, I was chairing or facilitating a discussion which was discussing the polarity or the poles of traditional preaching and innovative preaching. So we were discussing the pros and cons of traditional preaching and innovative preaching. But in the course of the discussion, it became apparent that what we call now traditional preaching, at the time Prabhupada was doing it, was very innovative. And he got a lot of flack from more traditional people who were watching what he was doing, you know, inviting women and having women live in the ashram and giving, what to speak of, giving brahminical initiation to mleches and, you know, taking people who had absolutely no qualification and letting them worship the deity and so many things. And still now, even, you know, this whole, we had a couple of years ago this whole thing about Rathiatras all over the place on different dates and not being on the traditional day of Rathiatra. And so when Prabhupada did these things, they were very innovative. And now we look at them and there's this argument, well, how innovative should we get? Should we, these traditions, we have to uphold the traditions. But Prabhupada always kept the principles of bringing Krishna to everybody. That was his number one concern. And at the same time, he was very concerned with keeping the purity of Krishna's mission, of Prabhupada's mission, of Lord Chaitanya's mission. So that requires a great deal of wisdom, and it requires a great deal of intelligence, and it requires cooperation from all of us, that we see that everyone has the right intention, and together we work to figure it out, how to do it. It's a process which is going to be ongoing. It's not something we'll do now and then it'll work for the next 10,000 years. It's a process which we have to keep evaluating because the world is constantly changing. And there's constantly new things that have to be done to reach out to the general mass of people and bring them to Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet, which was Prabhupada's main concern, that somehow or other everyone would get Krishna. Yes.
Prabhupada did the innovation way, but still I find Prabhupada has some secret way of convince himself. It appears like innovation, like Ratha Jatra, there is a particular day the Jagannath Dev comes, but then Prabhupada also display difference. But then I found once I was talking to Jayapataka Maharaj that actually Mahaprabhu did that. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada is just really strictly follower of Mahaprabhu and Bhakti Siddhanta, because Mahaprabhu did that. In Maheshpur, where the biggest Ratha Jatra beside Calcutta Ishkan, it was not a day of Ratha Jatra. It was a different day. So like when this Indian Brahman was asking Prabhupada that, why are you giving sannyas to all these young, it's not proper. Prabhupada said, when one should take sannyas? He said, before he dies. So then Prabhupada said, can you show me when he'll die?
When you'll die, yeah.
Yeah, so Prabhupada innovation has a very deep belief also, not just...
And it's interesting that persons who don't have the ultimate principles, the ultimate goals of the pure devotee in heart, they pick on these little things and they try to make these little things the most important thing. But what about this and this and this and this? But Prabhupada would always go above that because he knew the goal, and for the goal then things need to be adjusted. And we have to have that sincerity and that fixed determination in bhakti to cooperate with the will of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Supreme Lord is what gives us the adhikar to make those changes and make them properly. Because that bhakti allows us to hear Supersoul. It allows us to know what is right and what is wrong.
It's very interesting. I really appreciate your focus on this cooperation definition of bhakti. I never thought that way, but I appreciate, because I was just thinking of the definition when Vaishishta and Vishwamitra went to Anantadev about hearing Harikatha. And then Anantadev, he was holding the universe. He said, oh, can you just hold it for a moment so I can speak? And Vishwamitra just was holding it, and then he collapsing. And then he gave it to Vaishishta. Then Vaishishta was holding it. So then Vishwamitra thought, what was that? I could not hold it, Vaishishta was holding it. The Anantadev just looked at it. He said, he aligns with the Lord's wish and desire. So then it's very nice, very well put. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Quick.
Actually, I had a discussion, maybe it was a month ago or something, with one devotee on the phone, and we were marveling at some of the ingenuity of Srila Prabhupada in taking concepts which are very difficult in our Vaishnava tradition, translating them into English language in a way that even now when you read it, it's amazing how a certain concept is translated in English and is very difficult to do from both the Sanskrit language and also the conception of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Mm. But then we came to the name of Srila Prabhupada, and this was a very amazing thing, that in Gaudiya Math originally, they all would glorify Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, they would glorify, and amongst each other, they always reminded each other of Srila Prabhupada and chanted his glories, everything. They had a meeting and decided that none of the acharyas of Gaudiya Math, they would take the name Srila Prabhupada. Our Srila Prabhupada was not there at that meeting. Mm-hmm. And when he took the name Srila Prabhupada here, it's a very amazing thing, because by glorifying that name Srila Prabhupada, it both gave us connection always to the Guru Parampara, mm-hmm. but simultaneously to our Srila Prabhupada, he constantly remembered his own Gurudev, mm-hmm. as we chanted the name of Prabhupada, because no one would think that our Srila Prabhupada simply egotistically enjoyed his own glorification.
Yeah, right.
But rather, when he heard the glorification of Prabhupada, he was stimulated in his own remembrance of his Gurudev. So just ingenious, mm-hmm. how, you know, Krishna and Mahaprabhu worked through Srila Prabhupada in amazing ways.
Right. Thank you for that. Yes. Wait, get the mic first, okay?
In memory of Sitsitaviti, I remember I lived in the Miami Temple for 3 months, and two particular pastimes of my association with him, I'm so glad I had a chance to associate with such an exalted devotee. He was at Mangu, like you were saying, every morning, and one particular morning, he had collapsed, just collapsed right at Mangu. You know, and then another time we went on Harinam, and and people would be waiting on him. You know, we went to this one bar, and you know, and I was sort of new going to Harinam with him. So he said, "We're going in this bar." I said, "We're going in the bar, huh?" So then, so we went in there, and they had they had seats for everyone. They gave us lemonade or either ice water. We sat there for a few minutes. And I thought later, I said, he was doing this just to give these people in this bar this association mm-hmm. of Vaishnava. So he was such a special person.
Yeah, very special. Yeah. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.